Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Now, some people have poked fun at me this week for sounding like an insurance salesman, and that's okay. I'd still be out there championing this law, even if the website were perfect. I'll never stop fighting to help more.
Let's stop you. Now, you know, yesterday on The Savage Nation, welcome to the program. There's a lot of screaming and yelling and hysteria, and okay. The anti-Obamacare chorus is louder than ever. The righteous indignation can be heard from Maine to Mexico. But I have a little news for you. Obama and his minions are 10 steps ahead of the screaming anti-Obamacare chorus. 10 steps ahead of the chorus. Why do I say that? What the anti-Obamacare chorus does not seem to understand is that Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Axelrod, and the others actually wanted the website and the system to fail. Why? So that the people who are demanding free health care demand a government-run, single-payer system. Government Medical Insurance, Inc. Government Medical Insurers, Inc. And moreover, let me tell you something else that you don't understand. I mean, you could join the chorus screaming, oh, you know, knock out Obamacare, let's overthrow Obamacare. Well, it's all good sentiments. You could be Ted Cruz and use it for your own advancement. Even though he's right, he's not going to get anywhere. Ted Cruz is now saying Obama's abusing his power. Fine, he's right. Which president hasn't? Admittedly, Obama's doing so more so than any president in my life, but nevertheless, he's in a long chain. Others in the chorus against Obama are saying he lied. And Bush didn't lie about weapons of mass destruction? What else is new about someone who becomes president? What, they're Boy Scouts? No, they became president because they're Honest Abe. You know, so let's stop being naive about who our presidents are, who they were, and who they should be. Let's start with that. Now let's go to the issue at hand. Everyone's screaming, Obamacare, stop it, turn the clock back. My friends, we have entered not the first stages, not the infancy stages, not the adolescent stages quite yet. We are in the childhood of socialism in the United States of America. We entered the infancy of socialism 50 years ago. With the passage of the Social Security Act, we entered the infancy of socialism. I remember my uncle when I was a boy complained about the Social Security number. He hated it. I'm talking early 50s. I didn't know what my uncle's politics were. I was a young kid, and he was screaming about the Social Security number being the beginning of socialism. I didn't know what he was talking about, and he hated it. We've been way past the infancy of socialism, and for all of these Johnny-come-latelys to start screaming, oh, he's dragging us into socialism. Nixon did a pretty good job with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and I believe the EPA. He wasn't a Democrat. Bush did pretty good by expanding government three, four, fivefold in his last few years. I didn't hear people screaming what I was saying, which is Bush is practicing a form of socialism. So now let's already put things in context. Yes, Obama is a worldwide, world-class liar and a worldwide, world-class invoker of worldwide socialism in the United States of America, and we're all opposed to it. But unless you understand that he didn't begin it, you have no way to understand where he's taking us. What the anti-Obamacare chorus doesn't seem to get is that they actually may have wanted the website to sputter. They want the system, when it's in place, to absolutely be a nightmare. So people who are demanding universal health care will say, we want a single-payer system run by the United States government. Okay? Moreover, and here's another shock for all of you hysterics out there, we are already paying for universal health care. There is not a filthy bum in the street who is not already given a gold-plated health care system in this country. There's not a filthy, degenerate drug addict in this country who is not already being given the best health care the world has ever seen. And it's bankrupted us. I don't think you understand what I'm saying to you. I don't care if you're an illegal alien from Guatemala, El Salvador, Mexico. You can come here, you can go into any emergency room, you could have a child with the flu, and you could bring in all your relatives, they will bring you a translator, they will treat that child better than they treated a World War II veteran in the mall 3 weeks ago. They're all being treated very well. So they already have universal health care. What the government, who is 10, 15 steps ahead of the screamers, is doing here is very clever. And that is they want to introduce the idea that, yes, we all are entitled to health care, because we have it anyway, by the way. I don't care if you're the poorest person in America. You slip and fall, you're going to be taken to an ambulance will pick you up and take you to a hospital. Tell me if I'm wrong. Have I said one thing that's false so far? You already have universal health care, only it's overpriced. It's costing a fortune. So where am I going with this? I'll tell you exactly where I'm going with this. I am telling you what's coming. There is no going back. There is no undoing Obamacare. There is no undoing a universal health care program in the United States of America. What will result, despite all of the screaming from all of the people on the right who are thinking that they're making headway, is the following. We're going to have very, very poor doctors, very poor hospitals, very long waiting lines, death panels. In other words, a grim Eastern European universal health system run only by the government. And I'll tell you something else. In your lifetime, this socialist government that is emerging under Obama, which is right now sort of a crypto-socialism, he's hiding it, claims he isn't, that wild, young, radical Muslim socialist he once was. No, he actually is that wild, radical Muslim socialist he once was. Only he's getting away with it for many reasons. I will tell you this. The government will own all the medical schools. The government will own and run medical schools. They will produce garbage doctors of the quality that you saw in the ex-Soviet Union. Junk doctors of the kind you see in Cuba right now. Government-trained and government-paid doctors who earn less than teachers, like in Cuba or like in the ex-Soviet Union. I remember when I was a young boy, when a lot of my cohorts in high school wanted to be doctors, that was a popular thing, doctor, dentist, this and that. We were told and we were shocked to learn that in the ex-Russia, ex-Soviet Union, doctors earned less than teachers. We didn't understand it. We used to scratch our head. Because when we were young teenage boys, high school age, the doctor was, oh boy, he makes a lot of money here in America. Doctor had the Cadillac. Doctor had the nice house. Doctor had the nice everything. Doctor made nice money. While the average man was making $15,000 a year, the doctor was making maybe, I don't know, $150,000 a year, a neighborhood doctor. Who knows what he made, what they pocketed, since we paid him cash. We paid him cash. Remember that. Who knows how much of it was reported. They live very well. So we were shocked to find out that in Russia, the doctors earn less than teachers, and we didn't understand why. Now, as I got older, I came to understand why. It's because the doctors were very bad. They were poorly trained. They went to bad medical schools. And they didn't really administer the kind of medicine that we're used to in this country. They administered the kind of medicine you'd get in a Kaiser Permanente today. Very close to the junk medicine being dispensed by Kaiser Permanente here in California, which is a big model, by the way, for Obamacare. Ask anyone who's investigated this. The doctors don't look at the patients. I remember when my little girl was a baby, 7 years old. I'll never forget this as long as I live. I was a participant in Kaiser Healthcare. And I did so even though the kids were young. I only joined because I was afraid of a catastrophic illness. I never paid for any insurance. But I always was afraid that, God forbid, there was a catastrophic illness. It would wipe me out. I had almost no money anyway, but I didn't want to lose the little I had. So we signed up for Kaiser. We figured, God forbid, a kid gets hit with a ball or something. We needed some coverage. I'll never forget when we went in to see the, quote, pediatrician. Today, pediatricians have become drug peddlers. They push Adderall the way crack dealers sell crack. If your child acts like a normal person, they put him on Adderall. That's the pediatrician of today. When I was a young man, a pediatrician was a god and a goddess. They were the least paid, least rewarded doctors because they didn't push drugs. Well, all that changed, hasn't it? Now all they do is push drugs. They know next to nothing about nutrition. In fact, they know less than zero about nutrition. Nothing about preventive medicine, everything about drugs. We go into Kaiser, checkup, 7-year-old girl. She's sitting and shivering on the examination table, waiting for the great man to come in. The great man at Kaiser comes in. He looks at her chart on the wall, doesn't look at her. Comes in. He nods at the wall, looks at the chart, and he says, now let's see, what is it you came to see? And he goes down looking at the chart. He still hasn't looked at her, hasn't touched her, hasn't said a word to the parents. I said, are you kidding me? This is a doctor? He was there 7 minutes. That's what Kaiser doctors in those days were allowed to allot to a patient. It's probably 3 minutes now. I pity the doctors as much as the patients. Even if they want to be a doctor, they can't be a doctor. They come in, they look at the chart, and then they send them on. They throw a drug at them. That's the model of medicine that Obama likes. That's the model that Obama is imposing on America. And let me tell you something else. The government is 10 steps ahead of the screaming anti-Obamacare chorus. What the chorus does not seem to grasp is that they've created this crisis of the crashed website. It was intentionally made not to work. Why? So everyone would scream, oh, make it work. Make it work, make it work, make it work. We want our doctors. We want our medicines. Make it work. So then they'll say, well, you know, we gave it to a private company. They didn't do a good job. We're going to have the government design a website for you, and then the government will make it work right. In fact, we're going to get rid of all the insurance companies. It's too confusing. We're going to have a single-payer system. The government is going to sign you up. And the government is going to care for you from cradle to grave. And so, my friends, we're moving into a grim Eastern European picture here. Yes, there will be universal health for all, run only by the government. Eventually, no private doctors. Think of a black and white movie set in Prague in the 1950s. Think of Cuba with dirty smocks and filthy halls in a hospital with patients dying outside. That's your brain on Obamacare. And let me tell you something else. I have good news for you, too. Last night, you know, I ran a great show here on sex addiction. Remember the show? Is There Sex Addiction? I had great callers. It was one of my best shows. I really enjoyed it. It was like a one-off show, you know. And I talked about sex addiction, and maybe it's not real for many people. I got a call today from the White House. They've invited me to run the sex addiction side of Obamacare. Just kidding. It's the Savage Nation. I figured I'd cheer you up. The phone number is 855-400-7282. There are other stories. What do you think is the most important story we should be talking about today and why? Do you feel talk radio is becoming too focused on Obamacare and staying with them too long as I do? I can't listen to it. I know people who don't listen to radio anymore. I know people who are adamant talk radio listeners who stopped listening to talk radio because all they hear all day long is screaming and yelling, screaming and screeching and yelling about Obamacare. Now, admittedly, Obamacare is a disaster, but it doesn't mean that we have to talk about it on radio. Radio is not about talking about the government day in and day out, is it? Is it or is it? Do you want me to only talk about Obama and every breath he takes, every burp he makes, every ear he scratches, every fingernail he cuts? Are you people that crazy? You're just feeding into his narcissism. So I'm asking you this question. Do you feel as I do that talk radio is becoming too focused on the single story of Obamacare and staying with them far too long? And what is it that you would like to talk about? There are other issues. There are other important issues. For me, as important as this is, I'll survive it one way or the other. I'll tell you what I won't survive or what I fear I won't survive. I fear I will not survive the hordes of illegal aliens that Obama is about to unleash on America. I fear it will trigger a civil war. I fear our loss of prestige in the world and the rising power of radical Islam. I fear the desire of the Obamaites to seize our guns, because once they seize our guns and neutralize the Second Amendment, we will become absolute serfs all over again. We will become the serfs that many of us heard about from our grandparents in foreign countries. High taxes is another way of turning us into serfs. Gun control is another way of turning us into serfs. Flooding America with 50 to 60 million non-English speaking, non-language speaking, people who don't know our culture and spit on our flag is another way to turn us into serfs and strangers in our own land. To me, those are much bigger questions than the one that I'm hearing day in and day out. There is a much larger agenda at stake, and if you underestimate these people, you're doing yourself a great disservice. I have many things I'd rather talk about than Obamacare. I think I've given you my opinion, which is that there's no going back. There is no undoing a universal health care program because the people want it. That's number one. And there's no one doing it. And I will tell you something else. We are entering the childhood of socialism in America, not the infancy, which we passed a long time ago. And it will take 30 years for America to do what the Soviet Union did, which is break the wall and break down the wall. You may not like it, but here we are. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. I mean, the period we're entering is a very, very dark wood we're going into. It's hard to know if we could ever come out of the dark wood that Obama is ushering us into. But there's no question we are in this dark wood together. Now, you have a couple of ways to deal with this kind of situation. One is to have a gallows sense of humor, which I have. I've had since I'm 5 years old, 4 years old. I don't know, as long as I could talk. Another way is to scream hysterically all the way into the dark wood. Another way is to fight your way out of the dark wood and try to find your way to the light. There's many different ways to deal with this. But just screaming about it is about the worst thing you can do. It sounds girlish, it sounds churlish, and it sounds quite depressing to listen to grown men screaming about it day in and day out. And if I were a young person listening to radio, I was trying to say, well, now I got to ask this question right now. I meant to ask it. I'm leading to it. Everyone says that the Republican Party is kind of on the wane. It's dying out because it's older white males. God bless all of us. I'm an older white male. And once we kind of move on, there is no Republican Party to speak of. Others say talk radio is following the Republican Party. Conservative talk is going to die the same death because the older white male is dying off. But I have a question for you. If that were true, how do you explain the fact that my show is number one in internet radio in talk? I'm the number one. Let's say it was number one last time and I beat Rush. So next time he'll beat me. Why, if you are a person under 30, do you listen to me on your iPhone or on your computer? Why are you listening to me? If I'm so out of touch with the younger generation, I want to hear from the younger generation and I want you to tell us why you listen to Michael Savage. What are you listening for? Is it the insights, the humor, the dogs barking? What is it?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I guess tonight, I mean, I'm asking you a number of different questions. We can continue with the sex addiction topic if you'd like. Is there such a thing if you want to throw in a few? I'm sure many of you thought about it and want to call about that. We had great callers on sex addiction last night. Does it exist? And then I talked to you tonight in a kind of depressing manner, truthfully, about there's no going back and that the government is 10 steps ahead of the naysayers and that they wanted the Obamacare website to fail. They wanted the crisis, which they're using to their advantage, to have people scream for a single-payer system and for a government-run healthcare system, eventually leading to a government-run medical school system, eventually leading to only government-paid doctors, eventually leading to the equivalency of a Cuba-style medical system, because that's where this will end, unless eventually America snaps out of its love affair with socialism, which is very unlikely, given that Obama's about to grant, with the stroke of a pen and his friends in the business community, amnesty to 60 million little mini-socialists from socialist Mexico. Never forget that our dear friends from Mexico, as hardworking as they are, have all fled a socialist hellhole called Mexico. Mexico is a socialist crime-ridden hellhole. And what they're running from is exactly what they're going to bring here. By not understanding the language, by not even wanting to learn the language or the culture, by not giving a damn about any of it, they're going to let the very same demagogues, of the type of demagogue that runs Mexico to run America. We're not too far from it anyway. What you got to do is look at what's going on. You'll see we're not too far away from it. So I asked you a couple of questions. What topics do you want to talk about? What do you want to listen to? Can you take listening to Obamacare from morning till night? From morning till night? From morning, whenever you turn the dial on, screaming, yelling, Obamacare, day and night. Day and night, my God. Whatever happened to Dean Martin in Ocean's 11? I mean, a guy who had entertainment value, a guy who could sing, someone who could tell a joke. How much can people take of this without burning out? So I said, I ask myself, I say, same thing to you. Luckily, I was given an entertainment gene. I was born with an entertainment gene built into my hard drive, so I'm able to do those things. I can entertain people. Many people, unfortunately, on the conservative side do not have the entertainment gene, which is why they're conservative talkers. If they had the entertainment gene, they'd probably be liberals. They'd be working in Hollywood as lawyers or dentists. I don't know what they'd be doing. They'd be a dentist to the stars. I don't know. They don't have an entertainment gene. They can't tell a joke. They don't want to tell a joke. They're as strident and mean and as nasty as the communists on the left. They sound like them. Half of them on the right sound like Trotskyites. A number of the other ones can't finish a sentence. I listened to poor old Wallbanger today. I wanted to, because I had to listen to my competition. He's the other department store. And since he was thrown off my stations that I'm going to be on noon to three, no matter what he says, and I'm inheriting the best beachfront real estate and radio in the world, I listened to him. I never really listened to the guy. Now, he means well. And I actually think he believes what he says, unlike some. But I'm going to tell you that right now. He means well. And I believe that he tries very hard to understand what he was saying today. I listened to him for 10 straight minutes, which is the longest I've ever listened to Wallbanger in my entire 20-year career. I thought I would have to pull into a medical clinic for emergency care. I thought I'd have to ask for immediate medical assistance. The man was struggling intellectually to explain what he was trying to tell the audience about Obamacare. One, the bills and the this and that was passed and the sub-bill. And within the sub-bill, there was that. And listen to the president who said this. And if you listen to that, you'll hear that the sub-bill that he was talking to, referring to, was not actually in the original bill. But the sub-bill is the part that if you actually listen to, you'd find out that the president was lying. And that's why... I actually felt bad for him. I said, this is frightening. So I listened. I said, do people listen to this? Is this what people are tuning into? I can't believe it. I can't do it. I mean, I can't even think the way he tried. He couldn't explain what he was struggling very hard to explain what he was trying to explain because he didn't quite understand it. And he reminded me of teachers that I had over the years. I remember always the best professors were the senior professors, older men, gray-haired usually, who didn't do much with tests or whatnot. They got up there and explain the most complicated concepts in biology or physics in the most simple way. They'd say, well, this is exactly what's going on inside the atom, and here's what goes on in a neutron. And they would explain it, you understood it. Then you'd get the brand-new assistant professor who just had the PhD. He'd come in, and he'd be scared to death, and he put formulas on the board. He was so confused that he scared himself and then scared the students, and he gave you tests every other day to make sure you were in line. That's what talk radio sounded like to me listening to Wallbanger. I've always tried to model myself on the older professor who really knows what he's talking about, or I won't talk about it. And I do it easily. In other words, if I understand that, I'll explain it to you. If I don't, I won't even try. So what is the point of trying to sound so intellectually advanced that you know every bill that Washington passes and I'm up on this bill in the Federalist Papers and this? And who cares? Do you care about that stuff? Well, let's put it this way. If you care about that stuff, do you turn to talk radio to hear it? Let me put it to you that way. Maybe you do. So if you do, you turn to a history book. You don't listen to a talk show host to tell you about that. What do you need a talk show host for? Turn to a history book. Go and get a master's degree in history instead of wasting your time listening to talk radio about the Federalist Papers every other day, another law, another bill. It's a nightmare. And that's why I think talk radio is in a crisis. And I hope to be the lone survivor. I hope others survive. I hope they understand what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you something else. Well, I'm not going to take a call right now. I'll tell you something else. When I started radio 20 years ago, this March, I always said that I have a natural gift for this field, and I'll be in the top three. That's what I always figured. And I said this to you last night. I don't care whether I'm number one, two, three, four. It doesn't matter to me. I always knew I'd be in the winner's circle. And the point is that I don't have to do tricks and prove to you how intelligent I am in order to have an audience. What I need to do is keep myself from blowing a vein in this business. And in order to do that, I have to be entertained by the topic I am discussing, or else I can't survive, and there's no reason for me to continue this. I could just as soon put down the microphone and go get a new boat and just, bob around on a boat, which I don't want to do. I had the boat. I sold the boat. The boat's gone. I got an email from the new owner. God bless him. He bought a great boat. I miss it. but I'm not buying another boat so fast. My boating days are behind me. That's not my goal. It's not my be-all and end-all. He made it from San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge to Ensenada, Mexico, in my old boat, Sea Talker, in 48 hours. Would you believe it? Doing around, I think, 12 knots. Big monster, Cummins C-18 engines. I love that boat. I sold him a great boat. I mean, everybody knows that anyone who buys anything from me is buying something better than when I bought it. I'm fanatic about maintaining my cars, my boats, my shoes, my teeth. So he bought a great boat. He's happy. You know something? That meant a lot to me. I was so happy to hear that he got there in 48 hours. That's pretty darn good. He had two captains with him, and he sailed around the clock, probably doing 10, 12 knots, so 500 miles. That makes sense. He burned 1,100 gallons of diesel in those 40, but into Mexico in 2 days. That's pretty good. But I don't want to be on the boat for 48 hours myself. I can't take it. Honestly, I have a friend with a big yacht, a 165-foot yacht that's stunningly beautiful. Gorgeous. I like to eat on it. I like to have a drink on it. Then I can't wait to leave. It's too confining for me. I don't like being in a trapped space. I don't like being trapped. So what I'm getting at is radio is a liberating sphere for me. Follow me. Listen to where I'm going with this. I feel liberated on the radio. I've said this to people over the years. For 3 hours a day, to use a phrase that was used in a great rock song many years ago, I fly like an eagle. I had a friend that was in that group. I love that song. And I fly like an eagle. And for 21 hours, I crawl on the earth like everyone else, another mote in the mire. So I don't want to give this up. But I can't get stuck talking about Obamacare for the next 3 years or about Harry Reid. Or about the cut of Harry Reid's pants. How much can I take of that? How much can I listen to this or talk about it? I can't. So you can expect from me everything from how an atom works to some politics when it matters to, you know, dogs, boats, planes, cars, trains, jaguars, whatever I'm interested in, cameras, you know, anything. So what are you interested in? Why do you listen to the show? Younger listeners in particular, I'm number one. I'm number one on the internet. Never forget it. I don't care what anyone says about me. There's a cartel that hates Michael Savage. There's a cartel of websites that hate me, and they can't believe that without them, I've risen from the ashes. This cartel that starts with a certain individual who thinks he's Paul Revere once ruled the entire talk radio world. But this cartel no longer has a lock grip. The very monopolies that this cartel puts down every day that they hate about the government, they themselves have controlled all these 20 years. They are a cartel just like the government they hate. That's why they hate the government. They see themselves in the government workers, and they can't control the government. It's the only thing they couldn't control. And they thought they had Michael Savage crushed like a bug, marginalized and put in a cage. Well, I rose from the ashes without any of them. From the internet to radio, I don't need them. I don't need them, and they're all going to need me. I'll tell you that right now. They're going to need me before this is over. And so I'll do the show the way I want to do it. We'll see who's right. Let the games begin. Now I'm going to go to my callers. I've got a little bit off my chest, and I've only gotten started. Let's go to John in Seattle on KVI. John, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. It's a pleasure to speak with you. I'm calling in just because you asked what your younger viewers thought, and I'm 23, and I'm a college student at WSU, and I really enjoy your show. I listen to it in the car on my way home and when I'm driving. Really, your show is the way I get the news and a couple other radio talk shows, but...
So do you listen just for the conservative take on news? Is that it?
Huh?
Do you listen only for the conservative take on news?
I get the liberal garbage all day from my professors at school. So
what about when I'm not one of the true believers sitting here giving you the conservative viewpoint and everything? What if I do a show on sex there, sex addiction? Does that offend you?
It doesn't offend me. No, not at all. I'm actually kind of a libertarian. So, I mean, I like the, social issues and hearing about them, but, I do enjoy your political takes, though.
All right, so you're mainly listening for the politics. I get it. That's the opposite of what I was saying. I mean, I could do politics. I've written enough political books. to prove my viewpoint. They're in my books. If you don't believe me, go read one of them and you'll see who I am. Florida, Tom W. Sky, W-S-K-Y. You know, I haven't had a call from Fort Lauderdale. I want an FTL caller. They used to listen all the time. Where'd they go? They're all asleep? I can't believe they all fell off the Fort Lauderdale pier. I said you have callers from Florida on FTL all the time. I want a caller from FTL. Florida, Tom, not from FTL. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, Michael. I'm listening on WSKY 97.3 FM in Micanopy. It's up near Gainesville.
Okay.
Beautiful show tonight. Michael, I retired from the U.S. Foreign Service 7 years ago, and I was in some of those European countries that you refer to, and it's a frightening prediction, but you're absolutely right. Those doctors, the U.S. Embassy would evacuate us out of the country if we needed medical attention, Michael.
That's right. That's exactly the kind of medical system that Pelosi and Obama and Harry Reid and the others in that cabal are going to introduce, whether they want it or not. That's where they're taking us. A very grim black and white movie of very poor medical care.
Michael, let me ask you a question. Do you recall when Hillary Clinton was the first lady and she was trying to push that health care? What do you think is going to happen if she's elected next president?
Well, remember when she tried to push it and the opposition was very strong and they said, oh, the Clintons are trying to take over one-sixth of the economy. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. Let me make a little prediction. Before Nancy Pelosi gets through, it'll be a nine-tenths of the economy.
Oh, my. Well, Michael, God bless you. I love the show. I'm a long-time listener.
That's good. That's all. The dog is a long-term listener. My dog's been listening for 10 straight years. He barely misses a show. He's sleeping under the desk right now, the little guy. Can we have a little music to lighten the mood up a little bit? I feel like I'm going down like a tube right now. I don't want to go where I'm going. I want to go somewhere else. Let's... Florida. Who else? We're nothing from KLN? Again, the red. See, I have a message board. When it goes red, it means I've run over time and we have to go to the most important part of the show, who are the people who pay bills. Now, listen, I want to say something about it. No one ever says it. They make believe it doesn't matter. When you hear an ad on my show and we give you a number and it says call an 800 number and say Savage, you better call that number and you better say Savage so they know that I'm the best in the business. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. It's also about language. You got to understand that language is what we're using here on radio. All we have is language. We don't have legs in the sense that the Kelly Report has, you know, the woman who said that, what is it, the file. I call her the file, the nail file. We have no legs, no lipstick, no hair to use, no music, no dancing girls, no flashing lights, no $12 million studios. It's all voice and all language and all the ability to deliver all of those things. And how we describe our fellow men in talk radio is very interesting. If I say to you that I know the difference between a demagogue, a martinet, and a sycophant, you'd say, that's good. What else do you know? Well, I would say to you that I'm a virtuoso, while many in this business are tyros in this profession. I don't claim to be a pedant. God forbid I would want to be that. But I don't resort to becoming a vulgarian in order to attract your attention, as the rap stars, for example. See, the rap music business is full of vulgarians. It's a word you probably have not even heard in the last 20 years. All they do is sell vulgar lyrics and refer to vulgar tastes and manners. You never hear that, right? Then in talk radio, you have pedants who make an unnecessary show of their learning. That's all they do is they're very pedantic. And they attach exaggerated importance to minor details of bills, minor details of legislation. That's called a pedantic talk show host. I try not to be any of those things. It's as simple as that. I hope I please you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Du hast mich gefragt und ich habe nichts gesagt. Yeah, we'll do a show in German one day. Now we could do the other one called You Hate Me, if you'd like. It's the opposite of You Have Me, which is You Don't Have Me, You Hate Me. Or we could do Punish Me, if you'd like to do Punish Me. We could do Punish Me by, you know, I really used to use this all the time on my earlier radio show. We could do Longing in German. How do you say longing? Let's see. Playing with words. I love words. To the savage, the word is the deed. To the savage, the word is the deed. Words are so powerful. You know that words can kill you and words can heal you? Ask any lover scorned. Ask any prisoner standing before a judge the power of words, especially in Iran, the land of opportunity for the Obama administration. Oh, words are powerful. And those who know how to use words the best and have the silver tongues and are willing to lie become the best politicians. Now, if you think this is the first generation of politicians to have lied, then you don't understand anything about the word politician itself, what it means and where it derived, from where it derives. I told you about a famous painting I keep going back to whenever I go to a museum here, the De Jong Museum, the European paintings. There's a very famous picture, which I referenced in my novel, Abuse of Power, speaking of Obama, entitled The Politician. And in that painting, it's set in colonial America. There's a group of poor, you know, farmers sitting around a Cracker Barrel with old farmer clothing. And there's a slick city guy there with a nice suit talking to these four or five guys around a Cracker Barrel. And the painting is called The Politician. So, you're telling me, I love when people glorify the colonial days and the founding fathers like they were all saints. Good God, what world do these people live in? In that sense, I've said before, I'm the most skeptical talk show host in radio history. I don't feign skepticism. I've been skeptical since I'm five, you know. But that's the story. That's the story today. So I've asked a number of questions, and I've told you no lies. We've talked about words, and we've talked about deeds. And now we're going to talk about the topics of the day, and I'm going to try to avoid Obamacare. One of the finest articles written today, I think each day I've tried to find the best article written. It was by Saul Sanders. It's on World Tribune, which I put on michaelsavage.com. While Obamacare stuns the U.S., leading from behind unravels world peace. It's astounding. While Obamacare stuns the U.S., leading from behind unravels world peace. He's showing the actual devastation that Obama's incompetence is causing around the world. And a few words in his article I have to quote you. I have to find them. A demographic catastrophe not only threatens their economies, he's talking about Europe, but growing unassimilated immigrants from alien societies threaten to overwhelm their post-Christian cultures. A pampered public will not accept belt tightening, much less painful surgical elimination of waste and corruption. Greece, ancient home of democracy, is the apotheosis of the problem, a ticking time bomb on the doorstep of the rest of Europe. And then he goes into America, and there's some choice words in here. I wish I could find the thing about an elite mafia. That's exactly what I'm looking for. Now, here it is. The naive transformation, referring to Obama, which an inexperienced but arrogant elitist presidential mafia thought they could foist at home on a traditional society but one in revolutionary technological transition, has been matched with aberrant theory abroad. You want to talk about a constructed sentence that is so dense that it would take an entire hour to deconstruct the sentence. It is so beautifully written. I'll read it to you again. He's talking about Obama's administration. He says, the naive transformation, quote-unquote, which an inexperienced but arrogant elitist presidential mafia thought they could foist at home on a traditional society, but one in revolutionary technological transition has been matched with aberrant theory abroad. For whatever reason, the idea that the Obama administration could make a pact with a non-existent romantic version of Islam, a political religious belief that still mired alternatively in pre-modern torpor and nihilistic violence, has shredded what was left of decades of Middle East strategy. Now Washington finds itself on the wrong side of virtually every issue. You got to read the article. I'm just quoting one to show you how beautifully written it is and how thoughtful it is by Saul Sanders, "While Obamacare Stuns the U.S., Leading from Behind Unravels World Peace." There are some pretty brilliant writers out there. Saul Sanders is one of them. And he is contributing editor for WorldTribune.com. So where is this leading us? Well, it's leading us where I told you we were going at the first hour. A grim Eastern European universal health care system that will eventually be run only by the government. The medical schools will be government-owned medical schools. There will be no private medical schools. They're fundamentally government-owned now when you consider the grants and such that universities need to get all come from the government anyway, so they're fundamentally government-run medical schools now. There will be no private doctors. There will be government-trained and paid doctors that are terrible, like Cuba or the ex-Soviet Union. But I have to remind you that this government thrives on throwing the opposition off balance at every turn. So while the opposition, meaning the screaming minions in talk radio, are screaming about Obamacare's website, they're now pushing illegal alien amnesty for legal aliens. 10 steps ahead of the screaming anti-Obamacare chorus. And what the chorus does not seem to grasp is that Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Axelrod actually wanted the website to falter and fail. So the people would demand a government-run, single-payer system at Government Medical Insurance, Inc. And I'll tell you again, in case you don't already know it, for all of you screaming about, I don't want socialized medicine. I don't want medicine. We're not entitled to medical care. I heard someone screaming, we're not entitled to medical care. Well, explain to me, if we're not entitled to medical care, why everyone has it anyway. The filthiest, most drug-infested bum in the street is treated with kid gloves in some of the greatest hospitals in the world and by some of the greatest doctors in the world right here in San Francisco or in New York. I see the filth in the streets. I see these dirty bums laying in the gutter with everyone catering to them. It turns my stomach. If a bum falls down in the street in a drunken stupor, 5 ambulances, 25 police cars, oh, Mr. Smith, how are you? Oh, Mr. Smith, can we help you? Oh, Mr. Smith, this. Oh, Mr. Smith, that. And they usher him off to the best hospitals in the world. Who's paying for Mr. Smith's medical care? It's not Obamacare. You're paying for it right now. We're already paying for universal health care through the emergency rooms. And if you think the illegal aliens who've been pouring into America for these decades don't know that, then go to an emergency room as I have. I actually visit emergency rooms. And I listen to what goes on. And I watch to see what goes on. And I hear what goes on. We already have universal health care. So don't think that this is something new. Anyway, what do you listen to the show for? To hear me talk about sexual addiction, Indian buffets, bad Chinese food. I haven't had any bad Chinese food. I've avoided Indian and Chinese this week. I think that's why the shows have been better yesterday and today. When I first started in talk radio, I would skip lunch because I remembered Hemingway wrote that when he was starving in Paris, that's when he would go to look at the paintings in the Louvre and the other museums. And he said, only when you're really hungry can you see the art. So I figured, all right, when I go do my radio shows, I know that time was a little earlier I was doing the show, I'd skip lunch. Didn't work for me. Almost fainted. I then shortly came to understand that I'm not Hemingway. Secondly, he put a shotgun in his mouth from hypoglycemia and drinking too much. So I don't think his model for looking at paintings while starving in Europe was a very good one, but it was very romantic to me when I was 18. It seemed, wow, that's cool. Leave your kid in the hotel room alone and go look at the paintings while you're hungry. He used to do that. Left his children in the hotel rooms alone. I mean, today he'd be arrested for child abandonment, whatever. And he'd go out and look at the paintings, and he was starving. Well, look at Van Gogh, some of the great work he did while he was in a state of psychosis. So we all know that the madness that can be induced through a lack of B vitamins and a poor diet and too much alcohol or drugs can, in some cases, produce art. In most cases, it produces nothing but The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. But having said that, I found out afterwards that I am more like an opera singer than I am like Hemingway. And as a barrel-chested opera singer, I need fuel in the furnace. And that's why I have to fuel up on a huge lunch. And I have to, after the lunch, I'm semi-comatose. I have to take a nap. And then later, it's a late show, and it's going to all change in January. I was watching a boxing match the other night. I watch boxing matches, and I like, all of that. My family has sponsored, long before other windbags were talking about extreme fighting, we were sponsoring such. But it makes you sound tough when you say, I like cage fighting. Well, go in a cage if you like it so much. Like you like George Washington. Put on the uniform. Go fight in Afghanistan. All of the armchair generals. They want your son to go die for their cause. So anyway, I was watching a fight, and one of the guys said, are you ready for this fight? They're asking about an upcoming, championship fight. He said, I've been in that ring, he said, for the last 6 months. It's coming up in, I think, January. He said, I've been in the ring every day for the last 6 months. I'm just physically not there, but I've been there every day. And I said, wow, that's a bingo moment. Because I've been on this show January 1st for a year now. I've been ready for that ring since January 1st. It's not like something new for me. The only unfortunate part about it, there is one drawback to my show moving to drive time, and I haven't told you about it. I may as well disclose it to you now, which is that although it's 3 to 6 p.m. on the East Coast, it is 12 to 3 p.m. on the West Coast. I can no longer be going to Indian buffets. It's over. I can't. There's no Indian buffet breakfast. And I'm not big on ghee and sweet tea, so I don't know what I'm going to do for lunch, but I have to think about my food supply. I cannot do a breakfast buffet. I'm not in Florida. I don't even know what a breakfast buffet, does it exist anywhere, like a Denny's? No, they don't have breakfast buffets. I can't eat them anyway. I don't eat heavy foods. Heart attack food I don't eat. So I have to change my diet for the show coming up. And other than that, it'll be a pleasure. I don't know where I'm going to go 3 o'clock to have lunch. Everything's closed by then. The last Chinese restaurant that I know of closes at exactly 3 o'clock, which is a curse. I think I may actually have the Indian bring me buffet here at 11 o'clock before bring it into the apartment. Okay, where are we going now? To the calls. John disagrees. He got good health care in China. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, doctor. I got a couple suggestions. First, about your show. Like, you have training in the natural sciences. I think it'd be interesting to hear some anthropological stuff.
His name. His time came 20 years ago.
Okay.
He came and went 20 years ago. Who else do you like listening to?
I had walking pneumonia. My girlfriend took me to People's Liberation Army Hospital number 12. They gave me x-ray, the drip, sent me home with the prescription.
Yeah, I heard medical care is very good in China. It's very good, though, for those that they take their kidneys out, too. If you're a political dissident, you disappear and they remove your kidneys. Maybe that's how they pay for their health care. Did you ever think of that?
Well, that's...
Yeah, thanks for the call. Here's another one, glorifying the health care in China. Then move to China, see how they treat you. See if you could be an immigrant into China. See, there's something you don't understand about China. One of the reasons they're thriving is that they're very industrious people. That's number one. Number two, they're far smarter than the corrupt bums who run our country. They didn't sell their people out. Our corrupt political class has sold us down the river. They've sold us to every country on earth like the cheap you-know-whats they are. So don't glorify China to me, my friend. One of the reasons China is thriving is because they've out-traded us, because the corrupt criminal class that runs America let them out-trade us. I have called for tariffs against Chinese goods for 5 years now. Do you know that? Then you may find out that you have some systems here that would be still operating, and some business that would still be producing, and some factories that would still be turning things out. And we wouldn't have to look to China for our healthcare model. Oh, God, I hit the red again. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All right, so while you're playing checkers, arguing about Obamacare, they're now moving to flood America with illegal aliens. They're three steps ahead of you at least, if not 10. And by the way, the Republicans are ready to roll on it as well, because they're in power because of the business owners that want the cheap labor. They could care less about borders, language, and culture. They don't have a country. Monster corporations are run by people who have no country whatsoever. They see America only as a small market. And so they want America to have as many illegal aliens as possible, both to shut you up, overpower you with people who don't speak English, and also to have a greater control over the electorate, because you'll become irrelevant once this 50 to 60 million illegal aliens who don't speak English, tell me what role you're going to play in your own country. They'll sell your birthright out for a dime. KSFO, I'm going to hold on. I want to go to Wade on the internet. Wade, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage. I'm one of your younger listeners at age 30. I'm not an old man yet, but I'm approaching middle age.
How old are you?
I'm 30 years old.
You're not approaching middle age, but go on. So why would you waste your time listening to my show?
There's three reasons. I was listening last hour, and I didn't really know, so I had to sit down and think about it. The first reason is unpredictability. The second reason is originality. And the third reason is you're not somebody that's fake. In other words, you're authentic in what you...
Would you like a job as an assistant producer? You seem to understand exactly what's going on here, which is very difficult for many people to see through the fog of the Savage Nation. To serve and protect... The Savage Nation returns momentarily right here on your local affiliate.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
San Francisco. Jen, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
What's on your mind?
Well, I am so glad that you are finally one talk show host that is saying, let's stop talking about this, because I'm a very new listener to your show. My dad's been listening to you for a very long time. I just started listening about a couple months ago, because I'm honestly very ignorant about what's going on in my country, and I want to know all sides of it. But for the last, I don't know, months or more, all we talk about is Obamacare. I was ready to give up on talk radio altogether until I heard your show tonight. So thank you for being willing to talk about
something. Okay, that's what I'm saying. There's a saturation point. No matter how important a topic may be, the average listener has only a certain capacity to hear it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a healthcare worker. I'm a paramedic out here in the Bay Area. And, you know, I'm in it. I understand. I'm on the fence about it, honestly. But I don't want to hear about it constantly.
That's right. In other words, it's enough already. You made your point. Now let's go on to something else. I'd rather talk about an owl's vision, the vision of an owl, then hear one more word with Obama and Obamacare in it. Now, I want to ask you something as a paramedic, by the way. Am I correct when I say we already have universal health care, only it's costing us too much?
Pretty much. I mean, honestly, everybody that calls 911, I have to go get them, no matter what. You know?
That's right. So we already have universal health care. And if you're a rational individual, you say we can't afford it. We're bankrupt from it to begin with. The hospitals have gone broke. We can't pick up every bum and every illegal alien with a toothache and give them an EMT worker and getting on their hands and knees. How are you, Mr. Smith? I see it in San Francisco. I see the bums laying in the gutter that won't even help themselves, that these poor guys have to pick up the human trash and put them into a van with the most dignity you've ever seen, more dignity than my grandfather was given for working his heart out in this country. It kills me. So what am I saying? I'm saying we already have universal health care. We have to rein in the cost somehow, don't we?
We do, and I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the calls that I have to go to. I've had to go to shoulder pain from a heavy purse.
Oh my God! A fatso calls and says they have shoulder pain, and you have to send an ambulance for that?
I've gotten called for an abscess on the face, for tooth pain. I mean, everything. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. And
so, Jen, what we have are people abusing the system right now. And if, first of all, there's been solutions to it a long time ago, which is make them pay for every call. Make them have some kind of co-payment for every call. And then you'll cut out a lot of these calls.
Well, and also, I think the unfortunate part is because of the country we live in where anybody can sue anybody. My company can't risk the liability of me telling that person who has shoulder pain from the heavy purse that, no, I'm not picking you up, or have some, you know, you have two.
I understand. So there's a solution to that as well, which is rein in the psychotic lawyers. Tort law in America is a criminal enterprise. It was said many years ago that I can rob more with a fountain pen than with a gun. Now it's changed to I can rob more with a corrupt judge than I can with a gun. And the fact of the matter is tort law must be reined in. The American Trial Lawyers Association are one of the principal groups that put Obama himself a lawyer into power, and they're running rampant over America's landscape. They're robbing and pillaging every business in this country. Every business in this country is being held hostage by the American Trial Lawyers Association. They need to be reined in. So you want to talk about issues that are far bigger than Obamacare, start by reining in the lawyers. Start by modifying the American Trial Lawyers Association's capacities. George Bush, to his credit, tried it, and he almost got killed as a result of it politically. They reined him in, the lawyers, the corrupt trial lawyers, reined him in real fast. But that's one of the areas we have to focus on, is not so much reining in the doctors, but reining in the lawyers.
Yep.
What are some of the other maniacal calls you've had to go out on?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it's endless. Hangovers, usually after any type of big holiday, I pick people up because they're...
Are you telling me a person calls 911 and says, I have a hangover, come get me, you have to get them?
They don't necessarily say a hangover, but when I get there and find out that they were partying that last night and now they're dizzy and they've been vomiting, yeah, it's because you drank, you know, 10 beers last night.
So what, they know how to work the system? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they all do. And you know what, the thing is, the area I work in, I can't really say, but they teach their children learn it, and they grow up and they teach it to their children, and I am a glorified taxi driver.
So you have to pick up the human garbage and take care of it.
Yes.
In plain English, and so do all the other EMT workers, and I know what they go through. I see them. They're good people, they're saints, and they should not be forced to waste their time on this kind of garbage. Jen, we wound up talking about health care, but in a different way. We weren't talking about the law per se. We weren't talking about the O word. We left out the O word. I think that you've helped people listen, understand what I'm talking about. There's a limit to a country's carrying capacity for compassion. We long ago left behind compassion and became dunces. Thank you for the call. KSFO, oh no, I wanted to go to RKO in Boston. They're a great affiliate. We haven't heard from them in a while. Gary on WRKO in Boston. You're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Michael? It's an honor to speak with you. I'd just like to say why I listen to you as a 47-year-old family man. Your credentials are pretty much impeccable as far as anybody else that's really out there. I always get a free education when I listen to your show, especially when all the doctors come in and you have the shows about the HPV virus and the flu shots. You know, I have two.
Oh, God, those were good shows.
You know, when it comes to the politics, you get right to the point. I don't really watch much TV. You can't even get anything on Fox News that's even close to what you're going to get.
No, look, truthfully, Flop News does a fairly good job. You know, if you want tips on how to run a nail file, you can listen to that instead of listening to me on how to use your nail file properly on your nails.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm joking. Come on, they do a fair. Sometimes they do some pretty good jobs. They really do. It's not like the whole network's bad. Some of the people are very good on Fox News. They move to the center. Their political orientation is very centrist. We know that. And we know that the Murdoch's children have taken over the running of the whole news corporation, and they're moving. They're big liberals, by the way. You know that, don't you? Murdoch's children are big liberals, and they're basically changing the form of the political orientation of the New York Post, which is all basically salaciousness day and night, and Fox News, which is just softcore pornography at night.
Yep. You know, also, you just have a different perspective on things, and I feel. You know, actually, I have a lot in common with you. You know, I have the same birthday as you. I don't like the strong smells. I like to be left alone. I don't like
to be- Oh, now we're bordering on something that's going to either get very serious or very humorous. Wait a minute. What do you mean by the strong smells?
Well, when you get in the car, I can't really... Any strong perfume or, you know...
Like when you go to a car dealer from the Middle East and they touch your door handle and you can't get it off your palm for a month?
The little green Christmas trees that hang down off the car. I can't...
Toxic. Cancer-inducing. Cancer-inducing. See, if you can smell something, it means the molecules are actually entering your nose. They're entering your brain. So, therefore, if these molecules are being disseminated by, let us say, a little hanging Christmas tree in a car, these chemicals are entering your brain and poisoning you.
Well, that's why I can't see. I throw them all out of my friend's cars. I'm like, you guys are crazy. I can't stand. But you know, Michael, what I'd really like to talk about.
Well, no, you want to talk about odors. People who know me know they can't enter my house or my car if they have any cologne on. I've had workers, I've asked them to leave if they have underarm deodorant on. I can't stand. I'd rather smell sweat than underarm deodorant. I mean, I prefer neither, but I would take sweat over underarm deodorant.
That's correct. I'd just like to say, you know, as far as the health care, I'm getting sick of it too, Michael, because you know what? We here in Massachusetts, I'm actually under a single-payer family plan here under Romney Care.
Oh, yeah, it's the same deal, isn't it?
Michael, let me tell you what's happened. My payments used to be $200 a month per family, and then when Romney Care came in, kept going up and up and up because all the illegals are on it. They're all having babies.
That's right. That's right. America, the land of opportunity. Cross the border and have 16 children and let the morons call them a racist if they say a word.
Michael, my neighbors, my payments are now $1,800 a month, Michael. So instead of...
Well, that makes you a good man. Don't you understand? It makes you good, according to the liberal, because you can afford to pay for the people who don't belong in the country. See, it's a universal right for them to come here and have 15 children and have you pay for them. It's a universal right for you to lose your language and your land and your culture, too. You have no right to have a border and a language and a culture. Ask Obama. He's about to unleash the floodgates of 60 million of these wonderful visitors. Who's going to pay for this, Gary? Who is going to pay for the 60 million illegal aliens on medical care?
I'm paying for it. I'm already...
You haven't seen anything yet. Unless you pay 100% of what you make, Nancy Pelosi won't be happy. Until you're paying 100% of your wages to take care of illegal aliens, I think Nancy Pelosi won't sleep, won't have a good night's sleep.
So Michael, instead of me, a hard-working family man with two young kids, instead of me having that $1,800, I could afford a two-family house that I could make $2,000 a month off profit. They don't want me to do that. They want my neighbor to sit home on her ass and not work and get everything for nothing. This is how...
Well, isn't that the Obama way, to sit at home and collect an amnesty stamp?
Michael, you can't...
I think that he actually should issue stamps at the Mexican border, which is called either the Obama stamp or the amnesty stamp. And it entitles you to a couple of things. The first thing is it has a toll-free number, of course, in Spanish as well as in English. And when you call it, the first thing, they get a card that says, me immigrant, you racist, I sue ACLU. And it's a direct call to one of the vermin at the ACLU who teaches them how to work the system and how to sue anybody who stands in their way. I mean, that's really what Obama needs to do at the border. He needs to create toll booths going in one direction only.
Michael, we can't fit any more illegals in Massachusetts, when I tell you. I'm being honest.
But yes, you can. Don't you understand why the elites in Massachusetts love illegal aliens? Think about why Ted Kennedy gave that stupid speech, God Rest His Soul. Remember he sang that song before he died? I forget it, that Spanish song you try to show how multicultural he was. Why do all of the... Jalisco, Jalisco, Jalisco. Remember he sang it while he was drunk? Jalisco, Jalisco, Jalisco. Why do all the demagogues in Chicago and New York and San Francisco and Boston love illegal aliens? Because they don't speak the language. They can get away with virtual murder and the illegals wouldn't even know it because they don't even read the language. They don't even know. The newspapers are bad enough. Now imagine if you have a population as bad as the newspapers are that don't even understand the language. Now just think about what you can get away with pillaging and robbing and murdering. Think about that.
Michael, I don't...
Look, I know what's going on, and the writer Saul Sanders, who called it an elite mafia, had it exactly right. A small, elitist mafia is running this country. And by the way, we've only seen the beginnings of what they're going to do to us. Are you a fan of any TV shows like The Sopranos, Gary?
No, I don't really watch HBO too much, Michael.
All right, that's okay. I was going to make a reference to when they busted out the sporting goods store, but I won't make that reference. So I'm glad you're a listener, Gary. I really am. I'm running a little short in this segment. See, there's a young man, 47, who understands what's going on in the country. RKO, Marty, another caller from Boston, a quick one. Marty, go ahead, fire away.
Mr. Savage, I love your show. And aside from the paramedic absurdity, surely you don't think people should die in the street, right, the way you were saying that?
No, absolutely not. And I've said this over and over and over again. I say close the emergency rooms to non-citizens except for catastrophic illnesses or accidents, meaning someone's in a car wreck, sure, you treat them. Someone's dying, treat them. I've been in emergency rooms, and I've seen them bring in children with the sniffles. Now, you know and I know that that's why the system is bankrupt. They're the primary drivers of the bankruptcy of the American healthcare system. 20 years of illegal aliens having free medical care has fundamentally destroyed the hospital system and the medical system in America.
Can I go out on a limb and say one quick thing before you cut me off?
Say 10 things. I don't care.
I like what you're saying, what you stand for, but I want to vote fiscally conservative, but I feel like our country wastes so much money on the military industries for, like, two wars we didn't really have to fight. And I don't want to be there.
Well, I'm not a fan of the military-industrial complex, and I've talked about that over and over again. However, I'm a great, strong supporter of national security. The problem is the military under Obama is being decimated primarily in the combat ranks, not in the Pentagon. The Pentagon is filled with a bunch of grifters and contractors. Take a look at when they closed. Remember the Pentagon was closed down 3 weeks ago from a shooting? Remember that, the alleged shooting when they killed that innocent woman who had no gun? Remember that story?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember they closed it down and we heard that, oh, the whole Pentagon was closed. No, the Navy base, I'm sorry. It was all contractors. It was a contractor campus. Now, what do we need them for? What do you mean domestic, excuse me, civilian workers in the Pentagon? That's where Obama should be cutting, but he isn't. He is slicing our combat brigades bone thin. He's slicing the Marine Corps bone thin. He's slicing the Air Force fighter pilots bone thin. And he is fattening the Pentagon with contractors, not with warriors. That's my opinion. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In today's issue of the Savage Nation newsletter, I write, let the President and the Democrats own Obamacare. In today's issue, Dr. Savage noted that a former Princeton classmate of Michelle Obama just happens to be the senior vice president of the company that created the Florida Obamacare website. Savage noted, in another time and place, the FBI would be investigating this. It's just been reported that Michelle Obama's Princeton classmate is an executive at the company that built the Obamacare website, Savage informed his audience, adding, we now see naked corruption at work at the very least. Now, we are not implying in any way that the First Lady benefited whatsoever, but there is a thing called nepotism in government, which is known to go back to the days of Abraham and Isaac. In any case, Michelle's Princeton classmate is a senior VP of the company that won the no-bid contract to build the Obamacare website. Oh, I'm choking on the word. That's $1 billion, folks. In another time and place, the FBI would be investigating this, but we're living in a banana republic. I won't say anything more about Obamacare. I've talked about it all day long, and I've told you my position on it all week long. Give Obamacare a chance. Why do I say that? Give it a chance to be the Frankenstein monster that it is, and let Obama and the demon cats own it. If you stand in the way of Obamacare, you're really helping Obama and Harry Reid and the people who run them. Don't be a fool. You're playing checkers while they're playing triple electronic chess. And I remind you of something else. While you're screaming about Obamacare, they're now working on granting amnesty in the middle of the night to 60 to 70 million illegal aliens. The country will be over. They want to provoke the end of America. Don't be a fool. You're focused on the wrong thing.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Hey. Welcome to hour number three of the Savage Nation for Tuesday, 10/29/2013. MichaelSavage.com has all the news views and reviews you never wanted to hear. Boy, is it depressing. While Obamacare stuns the United States, leading from behind unravels world peace. It's a great article. You got to read the article. You got to read the article. Meanwhile, the White House admits an Obamacare lie. Really? A group of elitist mafioso will admit that they lied? Shocking. Just shocking. Doctors flee Obamacare. I plan to retire. Only 23% of New York will accept Obamacare patients. Well, what do they need doctors for? They can hire government agents who aren't doctors, as they did in communist China. They can hire laundresses, for example, to become doctors. What's the difference? The main thing is that they treat everyone. Not treat them well or sufficiently. The thing is to treat everyone. Give girls from laundries that don't speak English stethoscopes. Tell them that they're surgeons. Anyone who argues are going to be called a racist. That's the new America under Obama. Well, read your history and you'll see that I'm not just being, well, whatever. 129 masterpieces looted by the Nazis have been identified? Shocking. The U.S. spying on Europeans is a symptom of a paranoid government, says the Germans. Well, what do they know? Turn to Obama for the answer. Ha ha ha! A ha ha moment. Feinstein says her boss man didn't know about spying on world leaders. Ha 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 ha! Another laughing moment. Sebelius says her boss man didn't know about Obamacare's glitches. Ha ha ha! Another laughing moment. Hillary Clinton said her boss man didn't know about Benghazi. Wait, ha 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 ha! NSA chief says their boss man didn't know about spying. Ha ha ha! He don't know from nothing. He's only the president. Well, you heard the words, the buck stops here, from Harry Truman, or did it come from Casey Stengel? I don't really know. But with Obama, we've gone from the buck stops here. Well, I can't say it because it's a family show. 855-400-7282. Latino group plans to spend $20 million to throw out lawmakers who oppose amnesty. In other words, law-abiding lawmakers will be thrown out by those who are not citizens. Wow, what a grand day for America, isn't it? What else is in the news? A Philadelphia school has adopted a socialist history book by an author named Howard Zinn. Well, that's not so surprising. Why shouldn't your children read about socialism? It worked in Russia. How'd that work out for the Russians? Meanwhile, what else is happening in the world? Well, there's lots of stuff. There's lots of stuff. Let's see. There's some Google ships floating around in San Francisco Bay. And while they've destroyed health care, they're working now on our immigration. Pelosi says she has the votes to pass amnesty for illegal aliens. I can't believe this. Well, why not? When you have a group of elitist mafioso running the country, what else do you expect? Let's see what else is in the news. Someone posing as Paul Revere selling a book? That's interesting. That's a clever one. That's a clever one. It's not for him, of course. The object here is to teach the children. To help the children. I guess it's sort of a repeat of the liberals who did everything for the children, isn't it, Neil? We used to hear the liberals were doing everything for the children. I guess now the conservative right wing is doing everything for the children. I guess what goes around comes around. Now, we hear that Obama lied, which is true, but they've forgotten that Bush lied about WMDs. Something tells me that they have a very short memory. Now, is it any wonder that I'm an independent? I'm really not a member of either party. There are many people faking being independents. They call themselves anti-government, but if you look into their history, gee, they were government agents. They just worked for a different party in the government. I'm just laughing for Teddy's sake. He sees how sad humanity really is. I have a little news for you. Obama and his minions are 10 steps ahead of the screaming anti-Obamacare chorus. 10 steps ahead of the chorus. Why do I say that? What the anti-Obamacare chorus does not seem to understand is that Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Axelrod, and the others actually wanted the website and the system to fail. Why? So that the people who are demanding free health care demand a government-run, single-payer system. Government Medical Insurance, Inc. Government Medical Insurers, Inc. And moreover, let me tell you something else that you don't understand. I mean, you could join the chorus screaming, knock out Obamacare, let's overthrow Obamacare. Oh, it's all good sentiments. You could be Ted Cruz and use it for your own advancement. Even though he's right, he's not going to get anywhere. Ted Cruz is now saying Obama's abusing his power. Fine, he's right. Which president hasn't? Admittedly, Obama's doing so more so than any president in my life, but nevertheless, he's in a long chain. Others in the chorus against Obama are saying he lied. And Bush didn't lie about weapons of mass destruction? What else is new about someone who becomes president? What, they're Boy Scouts? No, they became president because they're Honest Abe. You know, so let's stop being naive about who our presidents are, who they were, and who they should be. Let's start with that. The government is 10 steps ahead of the screaming anti-Obamacare chorus. What the chorus does not seem to grasp is that they've created this crisis of the crashed website. It was intentionally made not to work. Why? So everyone would scream, oh, make it work. Make it work, make it work, make it work. We want our doctors. We want our medicines. Make it work. So then they'll say, well, you know, we gave it to a private company. They didn't do a good job. We're going to have the government design a website for you, and then the government will make it work right. In fact, we're going to get rid of all the insurance companies. It's too confusing. We're going to have a single-payer system. The government is going to sign you up, and the government is going to care for you from cradle to grave. And so, my friends, we're moving into a grim Eastern European picture here. Yes, there will be universal health for all, run only by the government, eventually no private doctors. Think of a black-and-white movie set in Prague in the 1950s. Think of Cuba with dirty smocks and filthy halls in a hospital with patients dying outside. That's your brain on Obamacare. And the period we're entering is a very, very dark wood we're going into. It's hard to know if we could ever come out of the dark wood that Obama is ushering us into. But there's no question we are in this dark wood together. Now, you have a couple of ways to deal with this kind of situation. One is to have a gallows sense of humor, which I have. I've had since I'm 5 years old, 4 years old. I don't know, as long as I could talk. Another way is to scream hysterically all the way into the dark wood. Another way is to fight your way out of the dark wood and try to find your way to the light. There's many different ways to deal with this. We are entering the childhood of socialism in America, not the infancy, which we passed a long time ago. And it will take 30 years for America to do what the Soviet Union did, which is break the wall and break down the wall. You may not like it, but here we are. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I guess tonight, I mean, I'm asking you a number of different questions. We can continue with the sex addiction topic if you'd like. Is there such a thing if you want to throw in a few? I'm sure many of you thought about it and want to call about that. We had great callers on sex addiction last night. Does it exist? And then I talked to you tonight in a kind of depressing manner, truthfully, about there's no going back and that the government is 10 steps ahead of the naysayers and that they wanted the Obamacare website to fail. They wanted the crisis, which they're using to their advantage, to have people scream for a single-payer system and for a government-run healthcare system, eventually leading to a government-run medical school system, eventually leading to only government-paid doctors, eventually leading to the equivalency of a Cuba-style medical system, because that's where this will end, unless eventually America snaps out of its love affair with socialism, which is very unlikely, given that Obama's about to grant, with the stroke of a pen and his friends in the business community, amnesty to 60 million little mini-socialists from socialist Mexico. Never forget that our dear friends from Mexico, as hardworking as they are, have all fled a socialist hellhole called Mexico. Mexico is a socialist, crime-ridden hellhole. And what they're running from is exactly what they're going to bring here. By not understanding the language, by not even wanting to learn the language or the culture, by not giving a damn about any of it, they're going to let the very same demagogues, the type of demagogue that runs Mexico to run America. We're not too far from it anyway. All you got to do is look at what's going on. You'll see we're not too far away from it. So I asked you a couple of questions. What topics do you want to talk about? What do you want to listen to? Can you take listening to Obamacare from morning till night? From morning till night, from morning, whenever you turn the dial on, screaming, yelling, Obamacare, day and night, day and night, my God, whatever happened to Dean Martin in Ocean's 11? I mean, a guy who had entertainment value, a guy who could sing, someone who could tell a joke. How much can people take of this without burning out? So I said, I ask myself, I say, same thing to you. Luckily, I was given an entertainment gene. I was born with an entertainment gene built in into my hard drive, so I'm able to do those things. I can entertain people. Many people, unfortunately, on the conservative side do not have the entertainment gene, which is why they're conservative talkers. If they had the entertainment gene, they'd probably be liberals. They'd be working in Hollywood as lawyers or dentists. I don't know what they'd be doing. They'd be a dentist to the stars. I don't know. They don't have an entertainment gene. They can't tell a joke. They don't want to tell a joke. They're as strident and mean and as nasty as the communists on the left. They sound like them. Half of them on the right sound like Trotskyites. A number of the other ones can't finish a sentence. I listened to poor old Wallbanger today. I wanted to, because I had to listen to my competition. He's the other department store. And since he was thrown off my stations that I'm going to be on noon to three, no matter what he says, and I'm inheriting the best beachfront real estate and radio in the world, I listened to him. I never really listened to the guy. Now, he means well. And I actually think he believes what he says, unlike some. But I'm going to tell you that right now. He means well. And I believe that he tries very hard to understand what he was saying today. I listened to him for 10 straight minutes, which is the longest I've ever listened to Wallbanger in my entire 20-year career. I thought I would have to pull into a medical clinic for emergency care. I thought I'd have to ask for immediate medical assistance. The man was struggling intellectually to explain what he was trying to tell the audience about Obamacare. One, the bills and the this and that was passed and the sub-bill. And within the sub-bill, there was that. And listen to the president who said this. And if you listen to that, you'll hear that the sub-bill that he was talking to, referring to, was not actually in the original bill. But the sub-bill is the part that if you actually listened to, you'd find out that the president was lying. And that's why... And I actually felt bad for him. I said, this is frightening. So I listened. I said, do people listen to this? Is this what people are tuning into? I can't believe it. I can't do it. I mean, I can't even think the way he tried. He couldn't explain what he was struggling very hard to explain what he was trying to explain because he didn't quite understand it. And he reminded me of teachers that I had over the years. I remember always the best professors were the senior professors, older men, gray-haired usually, who didn't do much with tests or whatnot. They got up there and explained the most complicated concepts in biology or physics in the most simple way. They'd say, well, this is exactly what's going on inside the atom, and here's what goes on in a neutron, and they would explain it, you understood it. Then you'd get the brand-new assistant professor who just had the PhD. He'd come in, and he'd be scared to death, and he had, oh, he put formulas on the board. He was so confused that he scared himself and then scared the students, and he gave you tests every other day to make sure you were in line. That's what talk radio sounded like to me listening to Wallbanger. I've always tried to model myself on the older professor who really knows what he's talking about, or I won't talk about it. And I do it easily. In other words, if I understand that, I'll explain it to you. If I don't, I won't even try. So what is the point of trying to sound so intellectually advanced that you know every bill that Washington passes and I'm up on this bill in the Federalist Papers and this? And that? Who cares? Do you care about that stuff? Is that, well, let's put it this way. If you care about that stuff, do you turn to talk radio to hear it? Let me put it to you that way. Maybe you do. So if you do, you turn to a history book. You don't listen to a talk show host to tell you about that. What do you need a talk show host for? Turn to a history book. Go and get a master's degree in history instead of wasting your time listening to talk radio about the Federalist Papers every other day, another law, another bill. It's a nightmare. And that's why I think talk radio is in a crisis. And I hope to be the lone survivor. I hope others survive. I hope they understand what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you something else. I'll tell you something else. When I started radio 20 years ago, this March, I knew, I always said, that I have a natural gift for this field, and I'll be in the top three. That's what I always figured. I don't care whether I'm number one, two, three, four. It doesn't matter to me. I always knew I'd be in the winner's circle. And the point is that I don't have to do tricks and prove to you how intelligent I am in order to have an audience. What I need to do is keep myself from blowing a vein in this business. And in order to do that, I have to be entertained by the topic I am discussing. Or else I can't survive, and there's no reason for me to continue this. I could just as soon put down the microphone and go get a new boat and just, bob around on a boat, which I don't want to do. I had the boat. I sold the boat. The boat's gone. I got an email from the new owner. God bless him. He bought a great boat. I miss it. But I'm not buying another boat so fast. My boating days are behind me. That's not my goal. It's not my be-all and end-all. He made it from San Francisco's Golden Gate Bridge to Ensenada, Mexico, in my old boat, Sea Talker, in 48 hours, would you believe it? Doing around, I think, 12 knots. Big monster Cummins C-18 engines. I love that boat. I sold him a great boat. I mean, everybody knows that anyone who buys anything from me is buying something better than when I bought it. I'm fanatic about maintaining my cars, my boats, my shoes, my teeth. So he bought a great boat. He's happy. And you know something? That meant a lot to me. I was so happy to hear that he got there in 48 hours. That's pretty darn good. He had two captains with him, and he sailed around the clock, probably doing 10, 12 knots, so 500 miles, that makes sense. He burned 1,100 gallons of diesel in those 40, but into Mexico in 2 days, that's pretty good. But I don't want to be on the boat for 48 hours myself. I can't take it. Honestly, I have a friend with a big yacht, a 165-foot yacht that's stunningly beautiful. Gorgeous. I like to eat on it. I like to have a drink on it. Then I can't wait to leave. It's too confining for me. I don't like being in a trapped space. I don't like being trapped. So what I'm getting at is radio is a liberating sphere for me. Follow me. Listen to where I'm going with this. I feel liberated on the radio. I've said this to people over the years. For 3 hours a day, to use a phrase that was used in a great rock song many years ago, I fly like an eagle. I had a friend who was in that group. I love that song. And I fly like an eagle. And for 21 hours, I crawl on the earth like everyone else, another mote in the mire. So I don't want to give this up. But I can't get stuck talking about Obamacare for the next 3 years, or about Harry Reid, or about the cut of Harry Reid's pants. How much can I take of that?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Savage Nation. I have good news for you, too. Last night, you know, I ran a great show here on sex addiction. Remember the show? Is There Sex Addiction? I had great callers. It was one of my best shows. I really enjoyed it. It was like a one-off show, you know. And I talked about sex addiction, and maybe it's not real for many people. I got a call today from the White House. They've invited me to run the sex addiction side of Obamacare. Just kidding. It's the Savage Nation. I figured I'd cheer you up. The phone number is 855-400-7282. There are other stories. What do you think is the most important story we should be talking about today, and why? Do you feel talk radio is becoming too focused on Obamacare and staying with them too long as I do? I can't listen to it. I know people who don't listen to radio anymore. I know people who are adamant talk radio listeners who stopped listening to talk radio because all they hear all day long is screaming and yelling, screaming and screeching and yelling about Obamacare. Now, admittedly, Obamacare is a disaster, but it doesn't mean that we have to talk about it on radio. Radio is not about talking about the government day in and day out, is it? Is it or is it? Do you want me to only talk about Obama and every breath he takes, every burp he makes, every ear he scratches, every fingernail he cuts? Are you people that crazy? You're just feeding into his narcissism. So I'm asking you this question. Do you feel as I do that talk radio is becoming too focused on the single story of Obamacare and staying with them far too long? And what is it that you would like to talk about? There are other issues. There are other important issues. For me, as important as this is, I'll survive it one way or the other. I'll tell you what I won't survive, or what I fear I won't survive. I fear I will not survive the hordes of illegal aliens that Obama is about to unleash on America. I fear it will trigger a civil war. I fear our loss of prestige in the world and the rising power of radical Islam. I fear the desire of the Obamaites to seize our guns, because once they seize our guns and neutralize the Second Amendment, we will become absolute serfs all over again. We will become the serfs that many of us heard about from our grandparents in foreign countries. High taxes is another way of turning us into serfs. Gun control is another way of turning us into serfs. Flooding America with 50 to 60 million non-English speaking, non-language speaking, people who don't know our culture and spit on our flag is another way to turn us into serfs and strangers in our own land. To me, those are much bigger questions than the one that I'm hearing day in and day out. Let's take a caller from WILM. Debbie, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you? I just want to say I'm a new big fan of yours.
Good, good. It shows you have a deep intelligence and a great sensitivity.
Thank you. I'm a sex therapist, and there.
I know it. Yay! There's one sex therapist in my audience. Good.
there is a divide with regards to this topic, and it's a divide both professionally and, you know, amongst just people in general with regards to sex addiction. And that divide is, on one hand, you know, when we look at sexuality, we're not 100% sure of what is normal and what is not normal with regards to sexual behavior. Oh,
that is so, Deb, you know, you're a professional in the field, and that's interesting. There are people who are hypersexed by nature. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with them. Isn't that true?
That is true. And I'll give you sort of an example also of, you know, some of the things that I've seen over the years. I mean, you know, I've seen people who have, you know, chased their penises because they are, you know, masturbating 20, 30 times a day, and they can't hold a job, and they can't hold a relationship, and those types of things. And that's where, you know, again, we may get into the you know, idea of, you know, pathology here.
Okay, that's pathological. Everybody in any sane person would see that behavior as pathological.
Yeah.
Okay, but when we're talking about Mike Tyson, who was sleeping with 10 women a week, I wouldn't say that was necessarily pathological. He was famous, he was powerful, he was strong, he was attractive, and he could get women. Why would that be a pathological issue? It was the whole package, the drugs, the sex, you know what I'm saying? Put together, it was an addiction.
Absolutely, and I would say the same thing about Tiger Woods. You know, when these individuals are, you know, unmarried, and they are not living, you know, sort of this life where they're supposed to be monogamous and sexually exclusive, you know, then everything's all fine. They're a bachelor. They're, you know, doing, you know, whatever they're supposed to be doing as a man, and that's okay. But as soon as we get into, you know, marriages and relationships and those types of things, then we like to label them as sex addiction. You know, so me personally, I kind of rotate between the two, and you have to look at all of it. Just like with Mike Tyson, you have to look at, you know, all of the, you know, kind of data around the situation in order to come up with whether or not he's a sex addict or whether or not he is just hypersexual or has a high sex drive and is...
Right, exactly. There are people who have very low sex drives. Wouldn't you agree with that? They're not driven by this at all.
Absolutely. We're in the field. We're even looking at the concept of asexuality, how some people just really have absolutely no desire for sex, and whether or not that's actually potentially an orientation.
But yeah, that's what I'm trying to get at, is I've known people of both stripes. I've known hypersexual guys as friends, and I've known guys who had no interest in sex at the age of 30. They stopped caring about it. I couldn't understand it, but I found this. The man who I can't even mention, I hope he's not listening, the man is in his 80s. He has a super high sex drive, dates younger women, never married, so he's not cheating on anyone. It's his life force. The man is super successful financially, very creative, brilliant mind, and loves women and loves sex. Is that an illness?
No, I don't think so. And I think that we live in a world that is so controlled by, you know, countless, you know, forces that, you know, are controlling us, media, et cetera, that send a message to us that we are supposed to act a certain way. You see the same thing when it comes to women. When women enjoy their sex, and if women want to have sex with a few men a day, or women wanting to have, you know, sex with a few women and men, you know, the same thing. They're considered sluts, and they're considered whores, and there's something pathological about that. And this is the whole big issue with this whole topic with regards to what is, you know, and I hate to use the word normal, but, like, what is normal within the realm of sexuality. But that's
it's an interesting topic for a number of reasons. There's an HBO thing now about, you know, Masters of Sex, which is completely fraudulent. We all know that Masters and Johnson invented their data, and it was all fake, and yet it was the basis for much of the sexual knowledge, false knowledge, that is, that became part and parcel of American society in the 50s. I studied this in great detail. Masters and Johnson were completely fraudulent. He was a psychotic. He did things to himself that anybody would define as sick. And yet, when you say Masters, he's supposed to be some great hero of sexuality. So you raise a very good point, which is what is normal. Now, there's another point here that I think we should touch on before we take a break, Deb, which is the person that I have defined as a normopath. You know, we all know what a pathological person can be. We all have seen pathological behavior in many fields. But There's another type of behavior that I consider to be rather odd, which is the normopathic individual. The person who is so afraid of their impulses that they continuously cleave to the center road and the norm. That kind of behavior, the one who's afraid to take any kind of risks at all, whether it be sexual or in other ways, I think is a form of deviancy unto itself, because I don't think the human being is meant to be a normopathic individual.
I can't disagree. I mean, you know, you're looking at probably 80%+ of the population that has fear of, you know, their own impulses. And I think it's part of this control.
See, Deb, don't you agree I would have been a great therapist if I didn't go into talk radio?
I think you would be great at several things. And let me just say this, okay? You need to do another show on genetically modified foods, because I am all into it. And that is related to sex, too.
Oh, it is. That is true, because there's an O in the word modified. So anything to do with a word that has an O in it is definitely related to sex. Deb, thanks for being a new listener, and I appreciate your input. That was a very interesting call, but we're talking about this a little longer. I had intended to talk about, oh, my God, all of the politics of the day, but you've heard it before, or you can get it later, right? 855-407-282. I'm trying to be morally neutral here and politically neutral in a certain sense, because how much can you take of it? How much can we know that we're living in a soft totalitarianism? That's what the Europeans are calling Obama's administration under Axelrod, soft totalitarianism. I understand that. But if I'm on this late at night, all day long you've heard it from other people in the media, day in and day out, how they take it without getting high blood pressure and dropping dead, I don't know. In other words, if you're so monomaniacally focused on the evils that these people are doing, you're going to drop dead of a heart attack or get a stroke, which we don't want to happen. And I don't want it to happen to me, so it comes around late at night already. When I'm on the air, I can't do it. I've heard it here and a dribble there all day long on the internet, this 8 million people dropping Obama. Who cares? Leave me out of it. I'm not a policy wonk. I wasn't a former lawyer in the government, now pretending I'm against government. I mean, what do you want me to do? Tell you what? How much can you hear of this? How many people are listening to this? You know, I ask myself, where is the audience for talk radio? There's a bigger world than Obama and totalitarianism. And if you're a revolutionary and you're opposed to it, you know what? Then join a militia and go fight the government. What do you want from me? Everybody's suddenly a George Washington marching around. Every schmuck in radio is already marching around with a uniform and a musket. Go join a militia already and fight the government. Get off my back already with this crap. That's what I think all day long. It's easy to sound tough on the radio. It's very easy to sound like a big tough guy on the radio. Hey, government, this, he's no good. No, what are you going to do about it? Is your brain that stymied? Is your brain that much of a pygmy brain that there's nothing else on your mind? It's a form of obsession. It is a form of an obsession that's mentally very damaging to yourself and others around you. I'm not doing it anymore. When there's a big news story and it strikes my fancy, I will cover it. Otherwise, I'm going to try to use my education and my evolutionary status as a human being who has diverse interests to talk about other topics. Obama and the politicians are not the sun, the moon, and the stars. I want you to think about what I'm saying and what you become used to in radio. Many of my listeners are addicted to me. They've listened to me for years. They love me. And they will go wherever my mind takes them. Whatever I'm interested in, they'll go with me and they enjoy it. If I'm into a hot political mood, they'll go with me. Okay, they understand that part of me. If I get into one of these states of mind, they'll go with me and they love it. Like I talked about jazz last Thursday. And I played some music that you probably never heard, and I explained some of it and how what it did for me and did to you. This is where I have to go in order to thrive and survive. I can't do this show anymore if it's going to be one of these monodimensional, single instruments, like chalk on a blackboard, like a bad teacher. Bad teacher, bad Robert Hall suit, tuna fish stain in the pocket, nasty, nasty Trotskyite lecturing you on American civics. I hated those teachers. And the day I have to sound like one of those strident idiots is the day I'm gonna leave radio. If that's what it becomes down to, I'm gonna wake up one day and throw my hat out of the ring. I'll pull my hat out of the ring. I'll just quit. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let's go to John in Seattle on KVI. John, welcome. What's on your mind?
I'm calling in just because you asked what your younger viewers thought, and I'm 23, and I'm a college student at WSU. And I really enjoy your show. I listen to it in the car on my way home and when I'm driving. Really, your show is the way I get the news and a couple other radio talk shows. But
so do you listen just for the conservative take on news? Is that it?
I get the liberal garbage all day from my professors at school. So,
so what about when I'm not one of the true believers sitting here giving you the conservative viewpoint and everything? What if I do a show on sex addiction? Does that offend you?
It doesn't offend me, no, not at all. I'm actually kind of a libertarian, so I mean, I like the social issues and hearing about them, but I do enjoy your political takes, so.
All right, so you're mainly listening for the politics. I get it. That's the opposite of what I was saying. I mean, I could do politics. I've written enough political books to prove my viewpoint. They're in my books. If you don't believe me, go read one of them and you'll see who I am. Florida, Tom, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good evening, Michael. I'm listening on WSKY 97.3 FM in Micanopy. It's up near Gainesville.
Okay.
Beautiful show tonight. Michael, I retired from the U.S. Foreign Service 7 years ago, and I was in some of those European countries that you refer to, and it's a frightening prediction, but you're absolutely right. Those doctors, the U.S. Embassy would evacuate us out of the country if we needed medical attention, Michael.
That's right. That's exactly the kind of medical system that Pelosi and Obama and Harry Reid and the others in that cabal are going to introduce, whether they want it or not. That's where they're taking us. A very grim black and white movie of very poor medical care.
Michael, let me ask you a question. Do you recall when Hillary Clinton was the first lady and she was trying to push that health care? What do you think is going to happen if she's elected next president?
Well, remember when she tried to push it and the opposition was very strong and they said, oh, the Clintons are trying to take over one-sixth of the economy. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay, let me make a little prediction. Before Nancy Pelosi gets through, it'll be a nine-tenths of the economy.
Oh, my. Well, Michael, God bless you. I love the show. I'm a long-time listener.
That's good. That's all. Well, the dog is a long-term listener. My dog's been listening for 10 straight years. He barely misses a show. He's sleeping under the desk right now, the little guy. One of the finest articles written today, I think each day I try to find the best article written. It was by Saul Sanders. It's on World Tribune, which I put on michaelsavage.com. While Obamacare stuns the U.S., leading from behind unravels world peace. It's astounding. While Obamacare stuns the U.S., leading from behind unravels world peace. He's showing the actual devastation that Obama's incompetence is causing around the world. And a few words in his article I have to quote you. I have to find them. I meant to... a demographic catastrophe not only threatens their economies, he's talking about Europe, but growing unassimilated immigrants from alien societies threaten to overwhelm their post-Christian cultures. A pampered public will not accept belt tightening, much less painful surgical elimination of waste and corruption. Greece, ancient home of democracy, is the apotheosis of the problem, a ticking time bomb on the doorstep of the rest of Europe. And then he goes into America. The naive transformation, referring to Obama, which an inexperienced but arrogant elitist presidential mafia thought they could foist at home on a traditional society but one in revolutionary technological transition, has been matched with aberrant theory abroad. You want to talk about a constructed sentence that is so dense that it would take an entire hour to deconstruct the sentence. It is so beautifully written. I'll read it to you again. He's talking about Obama's administration. He says, the naive transformation, quote-unquote, which an inexperienced but arrogant elitist presidential mafia thought they could foist at home on a traditional society, but one in revolutionary technological transition, has been matched with aberrant theory abroad. For whatever reason, the idea that the Obama administration could make a pact with a non-existent romantic version of Islam, a political religious belief that still mired alternatively in pre-modern torpor and nihilistic violence, has shredded what was left of decades of Middle East strategy. Now Washington finds itself on the wrong side of virtually every issue. You got to read the article. I'm just quoting one to show you how beautifully written it is and how thoughtful it is by Saul Sanders. While Obamacare stuns the U.S., leading from behind unravels world peace. There are some pretty brilliant writers out there. Saul Sanders is one of them. And he is contributing editor for worldtribune.com. So where is this leading us? Well, it's leading us where I told you we were going at the first hour. A grim Eastern European universal health care system that will eventually be run only by the government. The medical schools will be government-owned medical schools. There'll be no private medical schools. They're fundamentally government-owned now when you consider the grants and and such that universities need to get all come from the government anyway, so they're fundamentally government-run medical schools now. There will be no private doctors. There will be government-trained and paid doctors that are terrible, like Cuba or the ex-Soviet Union. But I have to remind you that this government thrives on throwing the opposition off balance at every turn. So while the opposition, meaning the screaming minions in talk radio, are screaming about Obamacare's website, they're now pushing illegal alien amnesty for legal aliens. 10 steps ahead of the screaming anti-Obamacare chorus. And what the chorus does not seem to grasp is that Obama, Valerie Jarrett, Axelrod actually wanted the website to falter and fail. So the people would demand a government-run, single-payer system, Government Medical Insurance, Inc.
Savage.